So Daniel is chapter 9 is where we've been looking at our series titled A Call to Prayer. And we know we need to pray, but a lot of times there we need kind of a motivation to get us to pray. We want to look at this prayer of Daniel, and even though it was given in a time and place far removed from our own, I think that as we read it, we actually find that there's a great similarity with the situation he found his nation in and the situation we find our nation in. And so it's, I think, much we can learn. And I think especially much we can learn from Daniel in the way that he approaches God can help us to understand how to approach him as well. So we're going to read from verse 1 down to verse number 19. The first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments, we have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces as at this day, to the men of Judah, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and to all Israel that are near, and that are far off through all the countries whither thou hast driven them, because of their trespass that they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws which he set before us by his servants the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. And he hath confirmed his words which he spake against us and against our judges that judged us, by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done upon Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil has come upon us, yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. Therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all his works which he doeth, for we obeyed not his voice. And now, O Lord our God, thou hast brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and hast gotten thee renown as at this day. We have sinned, we have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all thy righteousness I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because of our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers. Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate, for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thine ear and hear, open thine eyes and behold our desolations in the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousnesses, but for thy great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. And so we see in this passage, Daniel is a man that at this stage in his life, we realize he is an elderly man, that he was one of the first groups to be taken into captivity. So he would have been probably a teenager. So let's assume, say he was 16, 17 when he was taken captive. But what we find, of course, is that 70 years have passed. And so by the math, we realize he's going to be potentially 87 years old. He could be even into his 90s. We don't know. And so he's an older man. He's seen a lot. And he understands from the prophecy of Jeremiah the prophet that there was this promise of 70 years of captivity. And we understand that part of it was because they had not let the land rest as God had commanded, and they had done that for nearly 500 years, and so God was saying, okay, I'm letting the land rest, and you're going to be taken off of it. And so he sees this, but it's a way, 70 years is a long time, and it's, even though this is the word of God, and I'm sure Daniel has faith in God's word, he recognizes in many ways it's not like they as a nation have like proved themselves to have changed their ways and that they're repentant and remorseful. And so I think in many ways he looks at it, well, God would be justified in keeping it going many years beyond 70 because we still haven't got it as a people. Can you think about it, what we've seen in times past of how when you had the King Nebuchadnezzar, where he put up that great image and he told everybody to bow, they had Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, they refused to, but you think they weren't the only Jewish people in the nation, right? All the others bowed. And so they're not in a position of national mourning and repentance. Many of them are trying to just carry on with life, and just because they don't really have much choice. And so we see with him, he says, okay, this is what God has said. There's no guarantee based on how we're acting as a nation that he would still go with that. He would be certainly justified in extending it. So we see in verse 3 that he set his face on the Lord God. And so it was really a determination that he had. And he says, seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. That we understand from the culture of the time, that was a sign of mourning. But we really understand that he's serious. He's not playing games with God. He's not doing stuff just to sort of kind of convince God that he's kind of tricked God into accepting his prayer. That he's really earnestly trying to show God that he is sorry for his nation's sin. And when we think about it, when he prays, he says, we have sinned and committed iniquity. And you look at his life, and it's like, well, why is he saying we? Because he's been a faithful man all his life. That we find that just different things have happened. We think of the time where he prayed three times a day, and they made this, they tricked the king into making this commandment, if anybody prayed anybody other than him, that they'd be thrown to den of lions, and he knew that's what the command was, but he still went three times a day and prayed to God. And so he is a righteous man. And we recognize here that he's interceding on behalf of his nation. But we see that with his mindset, that he's not trying to act, well, I'm always been good, and it's just these other people, they're the problem. He's including himself, and he's you kind of think of with Moses of how his same attitude with his people, where he basically standing between them and God and saying, if you're going to destroy them, you need to destroy me too. And so we see what he says, and he's laying it out exactly what happened, that they rebelled, they went against their precepts, they didn't listen to the prophets, that God gave them warning after warning after warning, and they just didn't listen. And we see of how he says there that he recognizes that God made a covenant with them in the days of Moses. He laid it out. If you follow me, if you obey me, you're going to be blessed. Good things are going to happen. But if you disobey me, if you turn from me, these are what's going to happen. And one of the big things he said, that you're going to be taken out of the land that I put you in and taken far away into captivity. And so we see that the Lord kept his promise, that what is happening is just, you think of the covenant as basically being like, say if you were, you sign an agreement if you're like buying a car or something like that, right? That if you don't hold up your end of the bargain, then this is what happens. There's consequences. And so the Lord is keeping his word, and all this stuff came upon him. It's not because God's unfair. It's not because God is being harsh or cruel with them. He lays the blame at their own feet. He says, we've disobeyed you. We've transgressed your law. We've not obeyed it. Everything you've done, you're righteous in all the works which you do, as we have not obeyed your voice. And that's why all this has happened. And so he's asking the Lord to show mercy. And he's saying that we're not, we see in verse 18 where he says, we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousnesses, but for thy great mercies. That, and that's something that we recognize. If we're beseeching God on behalf of ourselves, on behalf of our nation, if we're trying to argue he needs to help us because we're righteous, usually that's not generally going to impress him too much. But it's more as we appeal on his mercies, because his mercies are new every morning. His mercies endure forever. And so that is really the means by which we come before him. But we see his desire for his people. He wants God to show mercy to them. And just to remember his covenant, to turn away his anger and fury, to have his face shine on them as a nation once again, so they would no longer be a reproach. And so we really want to understand that, and especially when it comes to our own nation, because we recognize that there are consequences to turning away from the Lord. And it isn't like we're a nation that doesn't know right from wrong. We're instead a nation that has many ways had the truth and has turned their back on it. And so we're in much the same position that, and even in the choices that we make as a nation, where times where we should stand up for what is right, that we fail to do so. And so it's something where we recognize that our nation needs prayer, that we as God's people, that we need to be serious as Daniel was in seeking the Lord, and just praying for him to have mercy on us. That it's the path that we're headed on. There's no promise in the Bible of where, okay, there's going to be judgment on us, but then the Lord's going to have mercy after so many years. It's for us as Gentile nations, it's like if we abandon God, It says in the Psalms, it's to the nations, or the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. And so if we forget God, if we turn from Him, there's not much hope for us except the Lord shows mercy to us. And so we as His people need to pray for mercy for our nation.